just feels so good. It feels so good.
It does. Sing with us in the car.
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. A regular crowd shuffles in.
Skirt, skirt.
There's an old man sitting next to me, making love to his tonic engine. Son, can you play me a memory? I'm not really sure how it goes, but it's sad and it's sweet, and I knew it complete when I wore a younger man's clothes. La la di di da, la la di di da. Piano man, sing us a song tonight. Well, we're all in the mood for a melody, and you've got us feeling all right.
Can you imagine what my neighbors just heard? Because we can hear music in our headphones and our garage door is open and people are walking their dogs and all they hear is this horrible karaoke Billy Joel
like
coming out of the garage.
People, they'd be tipping us. Thanks for entertaining us.
Cheeseburgers, church fans, random thoughts, two best friends. Every Monday, tune on in, cause Jeff and Dave, we've just began. Dishing stories, serving laughs. Don't panic, now just relax. American cheese is where it's at. Oh yeah, we've got your back.
American Cheese Podcast.
The band is back together, David.
Ella's back.
Yo!
Ethan's back.
Hey.
I got rehired. They didn't actually fire me.
Oh, no, we goodness. Couldn't do that to you. We just wanted you back, Ella.
Yeah.
I was so excited when I saw you tonight.
I'm back.
You've had
us.
Some bad influences in your life over the past couple weeks.
Alrighty.
You are reading more, which isn't good for you.
Exactly.
You're watching less TV.
I'd like to say we had practice ACTs, like not the practice ones, but the practice ones for the practice ones.
Do you guys hear a really loud bird just real quick?
Practice. I hear the bird.
Yeah.
But I don't know where it is.
That's not a sound effect. That's nature.
All right. He can talk.
Okay. Well, we've got nature.
He's got to shut up.
He can talk.
Would you get Louie to go scare
I did have this owl in my backyard. I think I told you guys about this for a really
is
long
it gone?
Time. I think he's gone. Yeah, I haven't heard him in a while.
We don't know what that wink, wink. He's gone. We don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, well, you know,
he's not bothering me anymore.
I might have called Austin Parks.
Tell you that much.
There might be a stuffed owl somewhere at Austin's house.
That was crazy.
So anyway, so where have you been, Ella? What have you been doing?
Living life.
Living life.
I've been thriving, actually.
Thriving.
Yeah.
What's thriving for you? You're like 2 weeks away from being 16 years old.
Yeah.
What are you doing that's thriving?
Well, I just got back from Mexico. That was sick.
All right, let's start with that. Tell us about Mexico. What did you do in Mexico?
So, through our school, we get to go down to this little orphanage in Imerys, Mexico. It's called Reunión de los Niños. I totally butchered that, but
what does that mean?
It's Kids Kingdom.
Kids Kingdom.
Puedo ir al baño. That's what I remember from Spanish in high school.
Because
we had to ask Spanish to go to the bathroom if we wanted to go. So I had to memorize that.
Did you have to tell her numero uno or numero dos?
I just said this for the shit out of this.
Yeah. So it was really fun. There's a lot of things to say about that. But I do have one story.
Tell me your story.
So
Is it a happy story?
No. So this is I got home and this is the first story I told my family. And it was
okay.
So basically, we're in the van driving on the way back and it's a bunch of sophomore girls and we're all sleeping because we're tired. And our van driver is this dude probably mid-40s,
So super old.
Yeah. Yeah.
barely alive.
Yeah, he's barely getting by. And
by the way, I'm 45 years old, Ella.
Yeah, I know. That's
right in the middle of the mid-40s.
Mm-hmm. And so he's kind of mysterious, I guess.
Mysterious?
Is this a Northwest
or
guy?
Awkward
staff guy?
It's someone's parent.
Okay. You don't have to say who. That's fine.
No, yeah.
Was it your parent?
No.
Okay, phew.
Luckily, oh my gosh, embarrassing. So we're driving back and we're all kind of half asleep And we just hear like a thud, like we ran over something. We're like, oh, aww, shoot, what speed bump did we hit?
This is gonna hurt.
This is not a story you should have told Dave.
And so we like all kind of wake up and we hear, oh no, oh no, oh no. And he says, darn it, but not in a, not in a, the Christian,
a more adult version of darn it.
A little more PG-13.
So this guy said no words all weekend. And the, and
no
one,
words.
And
I
one of the seven words you heard is a curse word on, a,
this
on
guy,
a school trip.
Yeah, this guy, like, he said nothing to us all weekend. I don't even know what he sounded like until, like, this 5 seconds. And so we're like, shoot. And then we just hear whimpering. It's like, oh.
Aww.
And so we're like, we just ran over a dog, dude. Like,
that's harsh.
We ran over a dog.
He shouldn't be in the road, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we got out at the border, and the van behind us was like, yeah, you totally truck that dog.
Oh, my gosh. It's like a vacation. Poor little guy probably kept up the first couple miles.
Yeah, they said he wasn't dead. He, like, limped off to the side of the road.
So he made it. I'd like to think he made it.
He made it to the taco stand.
He made it to heaven.
He made it to somebody's taco stand.
Exactly.
Terrible.
So, yeah, that was my story.
All right. Well, that's a sad story.
Yeah.
Last week we did a couple listener questions, and I forgot a couple.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I thought we could start with that.
All right.
Because my kids submitted some questions, even though they're mostly about them. It's still funny.
Sounds right.
Shout out Lincoln Hubbard.
Jack Hubbard wants to know what our favorite SMI story is. So I'll go first.
Okay.
I think it's kind of funny. My first kiss was on SMI.
Your first kiss? Like first when kiss. You were in high school?
When I was in high school.
Okay.
Yeah, not as a leader. That'd be weird.
Okay. Just
I never would have been invited back.
Gotta clarify that. You and Katie were waiting for SMI.
So it was my senior year. I didn't kiss anyone until I was 18.
Okay.
Actually, I think I did like a truth or dare game in junior high, but that doesn't count.
Okay.
I didn't kiss a girl I liked until I was 18.
Okay.
And so me and, it might be Todd Bowman, another couple of guys, senior guys, were like, who can kiss a girl first this week, right? It was a goal of ours.
For a missions trip. That's nice. What a great,
I mean, we were running two vacation commitment. Schools a day, but on the downtime, we're like, let's see who can kiss a girl first. And so the college pastor at the time was on the trip to kind of like get to know some of the seniors in high school. So he was hanging out with us a lot. And I told him about the bet. And he's like, let me know what I can do to help. So it was like the second to last night. I was talking to this girl. And I was like, we should go for a walk. And she's like, we're not allowed to leave, you know, the campus.
I got an inside track.
And I was like, watch this. So we started walking towards the outside. And the guy was right there. And I was like, hey, we're going to go for a walk. And he's like, have fun.
So you go.
So we got right off campus. We kissed. It was both our first kisses. Very awkward, but it's a funny SMI story.
It sounds like something from the Wonder Years.
Yeah, yeah.
Which trip was that? Was that Gallup or Colorado?
That was Colorado.
Okay.
1999.
Roggen.
1999. That's how long ago it was.
Wow. So I would probably say for me, I mean, I got a lot of funny ones as a youth pastor, but for me, like being a student, I remember there was a high school girl on the trip, and I'm not going to say her name, but she was like really high maintenance about like this this stuffed animal she had. It was like a bear. And so like all the guys kept like stealing it and hiding it and whatever. And it just turned up missing. Like we're on our way home, and she's like just freaking out and like crying and yelling and screaming and like accusing everybody. And like, and I think Casey might have been in the van with me or somebody. I forget who it was. I think it was my junior year because I got kicked off of SMI my senior year.
What?
Yeah, that's a story for another time.
Stories of a youth pastor.
That's crazy.
And so we were driving like on the highway coming back from Colorado, and a van passes us, and this girl's like in our van. A van passes us, and her bear is duct taped to the mirror of the other van, like the fur's flying off of it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That's very funny, but also
maybe it's time to like.
It was like a bald teddy bear.
That's crazy.
I mean, just imagine what duct tape does to the fur
of
a stuffed animal.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Ella.
That's my story.
Yeah, favorite. Funniest, whatever.
SMI or missions trip of some kind.
I've only
hopefully
been
not
on
another
one SMI.
Dead dog one.
Yeah. Shoot. Well, I've only been on one SMI so far, but.
So was it the TikTok you guys made last year?
The TikTok.
Oh, that was pretty good.
I love that.
TikTok. Oh, that was funny.
It was great.
No, probably. So we did this thing where like we're staying at the church, right? And so we turned all the lights off, and I hate the dark. Like, I'm terrified.
She still sleeps with pretty much every light on in her room.
Yeah.
And the laundry room light on across the hall.
And keep in mind, like, I'm a stereotypical, like, church, like, PK pastor's kid. So, like, I don't watch scary movies. Like, no.
Oh, you should. We'll get you there.
No. Heck
Here's
no.
what my grandpa taught me about the dark, Ella. Because I used to be scared of the dark. You know what he told me?
What?
He said, if you can't see, neither can they. You're safer in the dark.
They? What is they?
Like whoever they're, you're afraid
of. So there's multiple people and they're trying to kill you.
That's worse. That's so much worse. So I don't watch scary movies, and I've never been like exposed to scary things. And so
what's
I'm like,
the scariest thing you've seen that you can think of?
I watched the first 10 minutes of Scream on Halloween because Sadie and Jack and all the
more bad influences.
It was terrible.
I know. My kid was there. Terrible.
It was terrible. It was
shocking.
The original Scream is one of the best openings of all time.
Yeah. That's what they said. And I was like, oh, I'm down. And no. Terrible. I was crying. I kept looking at my phone like to ask, like seeing if my mom would text me. And like it was.
My mom just texted. She says that I need to be picked up.
Yeah.
My mom said I can't watch this movie.
That is a funny part.
I don't think I can watch this movie.
Sadie saw me shaking and we turned on Goosebumps. So it's okay.
Turned on Goosebumps?
Yeah.
Goosebumps is kind of scary.
Yeah.
It was
little doll's kind of scary. What's the doll's name?
Slappy.
Yeah.
I showed it to Annie and she was like, this is terrible. She was like, this is not scary. You totally tricked me. But anyway, so we're walking in the dark and I didn't know Sadie that well at the time, but I knew her, but I didn't know her like enough to know that she liked to scare people. And so I'm like walking in the dark by myself and we're playing without like phone flashlights. So it's like dark and we're playing sardines and I just see like her with like, you know, like that creepy girl with like the hair in front of her.
Yeah.
And she's like walking
like from the Ring.
Yeah. And she had a speaker in her back pocket that I didn't see like playing like little kids screaming. And I almost cried. Like I was so scared. And then Jack popped out of the corner and then I just wanted. So that was, I mean, it wasn't funny, but it was.
I love it. That's a good story. Scary. Ethan, you got one for us?
I was thinking about it. I think, I don't know, as a student, like this past year, in Gallup was a fun one. We played after every night, like we had been at our VBSs all day or our day camps, and we get back and eat dinner and then we put all the tables away, and at this church there's like a gym.
Yeah.
So
I've been in that gym.
Yep.
So that's where I went on SMI too.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're in
Dave might have run naked across that gym.
For sure.
Lunges. Well, lunges across that gym.
There's another story from
not
ours
as a leader.
About
not the Isaiah story.
Well, I'm still a minor.
We'll tell the Isaiah story in a minute. But but there's this gym. So like every night, like we've got a couple athletes in our group. So we decided, hey, we've got a bunch of like stuff for like the sports camp that we're running. So we're going to play wiffle ball.
I've heard about the wiffle ball games.
It was intense.
So I say we've got athletes in our group, and that being me, Jack, Lincoln, Ella, Gracie.
AJ was an athlete,
Isaiah,
too.
AJ, yeah.
So everybody but Sadie.
I
say that to set up, yep, Sadie's not the most athletic person, and
she hates sports.
But yeah.
She actually has like, hand-eye coordination. She could play sports,
I would believe
but she
it.
Hates
so,
it.
This whole week, like Monday we play and I was like shocked how competitive it got. Like, guys, we're like serving kids here. We shouldn't be like,
I heard it was intense.
It was, but it was a lot of fun.
It was definitely
I like
your
that.
Fault too.
It wasn't my fault, but
I heard Sadie was pretty upset at Ethan for trying so hard.
I'll get to that.
Yeah.
So it's like Tuesday night. We can't get Sadie or like Belle or any of those girls to play because they're reading or music, I don't know, something, but
they're reading about music.
They're sure they're reading music.
They're musically reading, I don't know, but yeah, we finally Wednesday night we get them to play, and it's heated up all week at this point. Like, we've got our team set and we're just going to battle, and we finally get Sadie up to the plate to play, and I'm playing first. I'm tired, so someone hits a ground ball. Like Isaiah, and he throws it, and I catch it, and it's an out. And Sadie is ticked off because she grounds out, and like, and she's pissed at me. I'm like, why? Like, what did I do?
You should have just let her get safe.
All right, can I tell the other side of the story? You were like hyper competitive. Like,
I said nothing.
Ethan's really, Ethan? That's weird.
There was no mercy.
Gracie was a lot worse than me.
Gracie was a lot worse, but.
But, yeah, you bring up Dave running naked through the gym.
No, never.
Never.
that night, there's four guys on this trip and, like, a ton of girls. So it's me, Jack, Lincoln, and our friend Isaiah.
Oh, boy.
I think it's probably the second to last night of this trip. Yeah. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, Isaiah brings probably 2-3-inch inseam shorts.
Tiny shorts.
Tiny, tiny shorts.
They're probably his sisters. Makes sense.
I don't know. I think there is. It's pretty...
Maybe.
You know, they're American flag, and we're like, hey.
So sidebar, my boys wear, like, they love short shorts now. Like, yeah. Jack won't buy anything longer than 5-inch inseam.
That's crazy.
They're tiny.
This is shorter.
Ethan, wow. Do you wear short shorts?
I don't know. I think 5 inch is probably the shortest it goes. But I think I've got most of mine are 7 inches.
Which is even, like, shorter than anything I've ever had.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, most of mine aren't that short.
Ella, what do you think of boys in short shorts?
I think he's disgusting.
All right. There you go. That's fair.
For the mouth of babes.
Yeah. So all the girls, what were you doing? Like stretching or doing reading? I don't know.
We were swing dancing.
More reading.
No, what is going on this mission trip?
It's all this reading.
Oh, my gosh. We were swing dancing, and Ethan's too stubborn to do anything that involves. No. He's making a big deal. He's like, I can't dance,
no,
guys.
No.
Go in my room. And
is that how he sounds in your head?
Yeah. No, he walks in his room by himself. And
no, this is not the story.
Yeah.
This is when all the girls in the room, and Isaiah, Jack, Lincoln, and I all decided we're going to hike up our shorts super high. Turn on some Fortunate Son and just sprint through there in our real tight shorts and just freak them all out. Yeah.
It was, I thought you were talking about like when Isaiah like almost.
Nope.
All right.
That's a different one.
Lincoln's question. What's your favorite memory of me playing basketball? So I told the story before. I'll make it quick. In a CCV that was like before we started playing club. It was like the last rec league he played in. And substitutions were mandatory. Every 4 minutes, they just blew the whistle, and you had to put in the five guys on the bench. Five guys on the court would come out. So he was in, and when he was in, he made 2-3 buckets in a row. And then they blew the whistle, and he came out of the game for 5 minutes. And then he went back in 5 minutes later because they sent all the subs in. And he hit, like, a step-back jumper. And then he, like, faked the kid out and went under, did an up-and-under layup. And the other coach was like, is this guy going to play the whole game? And we were like, dude, you just sat on the bench for 5 minutes. Calm down. We just started keeping score.
That's
a great Lincoln basketball memory. Lincoln has a question for you, Jeff.
Yeah.
He wants to know what your favorite memory of Dave is.
Favorite memory of Dave?
Yeah, me, Dave.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to ask me what my favorite memory of Lincoln was.
So you're a little on the spot. So in the meantime, while you're thinking, I'll say, Ella, your question from Lincoln is, what's the funniest thing Lincoln has ever done that you've seen?
Okay. So this isn't like anything, I guess it's sort of what Lincoln's done. Okay. So, hopefully not listening to this, but seventh and eighth grade, I was like hanging out with Palmcroft Phoenix girls.
So we went on Impact together.
Yeah.
And Phoenix and Anthem.
Lincoln was an Anthem kid.
But he also had a Phoenix pass because we grew up at Phoenix, and then my wife took a job at Anthem. So we left when Lincoln was in sixth grade, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all the girls knew who Lincoln Hubbard was. They've like never talked to him. And so like when I tell you every winter camp and every like mission trips, it was always like, oh my gosh, like guys, Lincoln's here. Like it was like it was crazy. The girls were like fangirling over him. Like,
that's funny.
It was wild. I was like, all right, like. You do you. But
sidebar on that story. Sometimes our volleyball team plays in like tournaments at schools, and we start on Friday. And a lot of teachers, I'm not saying they're lazy, but they're just like, hey, there's a tournament in the gym today. So for class, we're going to go to the gym.
Yeah.
And you guys can watch volleyball. And so, but a lot of times there's like girls in there and they're like videoing our boys playing.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
We can hear them talking like, how come we don't have any tall, good looking boys at our school?
Yeah, Gracie gets so mad. It's actually really funny. So.
I've got a lot of good. I've got a lot of favorite memories of Dave. My oldest one is probably your best man speech.
Ooh, I love the best man speech.
Yeah, your
do
best.
Do we have a video of your
we
reception?
Do. Yeah, we do. We've got it here.
We should watch it someday.
We should figure out. We got it on VHS.
I know.
We actually have it on DVD, but as well. But yeah, we'd have to figure out how to convert it. But yeah, we have to convert the best man speech because you obviously post a picture of you and Amber, my wife, at prom as part of your best man speech. And then a video actually is part of the best man speech of me and you driving back from the infamous San Diego trip.
Singing together.
Singing a Garth Brooks song.
Nice.
So
nice. Did I say sweet stuff too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good.
It was great.
I'm glad.
You accused me of you dropping being the reason that you dropped out of college.
Oh.
Because we used to sneak in the health clubs.
We used to definitely like go to college, and then I'd be like,
there's no parking.
Hey, Jeff, you want to go play racquetball? Sure.
That was college.
That was the beginning and end of my college. Jeff went back and graduated.
I did.
Sadie's question, when is Jason Zeller going to be on the pod?
Whenever he wants.
Jason, open invitation. Whenever you're ready, we're ready.
We need fireman stories.
I want the grossest stories you can remember. I want the weirdest, funniest stories you got. Firefighters got good stories.
They do.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Open invitation. All right, those are our questions. Now we're moving on to some life advice, because I have some life advice.
All right, hit me with it.
All right, so you ever play games on your phone, Jeff?
Not a ton.
Ella, Ethan?
Minion Rush all the time.
All the time?
Not as much anymore, but yeah.
So I saw this ad once for this game, and it looked cool. And then it's one of those where you start playing the game, and the ad they show you doesn't actually exist. So it's not, like, that gameplay's not even in it. So I started playing the game for a different reason, and I never even got to do what I originally wanted. But basically this game, long story short, there was levels that you could play, and I wanted to get 3 stars on all the levels.
What's the premise of the game? Can we know?
It's called Age of Origin, and basically you built like a city. But it's something that you can play like all day. Like you can do online stuff against other people, or I can just play the levels that are like there. But the more I like built up my city, the more powerful I was. And so like it was super nerdy. Like every day I would send soldiers out to like forage for oil and food and steel so I could upgrade my city.
Oh, wow.
Because some of the levels I couldn't get 3 stars until my city was upgraded, so my weapons did more damage.
So you played this every day?
I played this realistically, unless that's something weird happened. I played every day for about a year. That's how long it took me to get 3 stars.
How many times
levels.
A day? Be honest. How much time during a day?
Because you had these farms that collected food, so sometimes they would max out. So sometimes I would open it, just shake my phone, and it would collect all the stuff, and then close it. So there's some days I played for less than a minute.
Okay.
But there's definitely days I played for 4 hours. For sure.
Love it.
So just this last, I was all the way done. I had 2 stars on the last level, and I'd been trying to get 3 stars probably for the last 3 months. And so I finally did it this last week. It was like 12:30 at night. Nobody was awake. I was just playing on a couch.
Nobody to celebrate with.
And then I finally, like, this monster was so close to cross. I had to kill him before he crossed. And it was like 1 step left. And he finally died from my machine gun turrets. And I was like, yes. But then nobody was really there to celebrate with me. But here's the funniest part. Because this was, you know, a lot of time. And I'll tell you the truth. I spent $20 on the game total.
Okay.
And you always vow I don't want to spend any money on this game, but then I caved twice and bought like a $10 pack to like speed up stuff so I could get done with it. But then I'm thinking like, cause I would see in the group chats, people would sell their cities. They'd be like, I'm done this game. I'm going to sell my cities. Anybody want to buy it? So in my mind, I'm like, it might be worth a little bit of money because I really did play every day for a year.
I'm invested.
And so I said, I'm done playing the game and anybody want to buy my city. So far I've had one offer, Jeff. Guess how much it was for.
Man, $5.
$5 was the offer.
Was it really?
Yeah. So a year of my life was wasted, and so far $5 is the best offer.
You can't even buy a coffee.
I'm like not even going to sell it. I'd rather just delete it than take $5. So my life advice for that is don't waste your time on phone games. Be better than Dave. Sometimes Jack and Lincoln is like a joke. They would look at my screen time because they could see I was playing. They'd be like,
that's
Dad,
so funny.
I was like, dude, I have to be on my phone all day for work. It's not just a game, I promise.
They're going to ground you from your phone.
So my second life advice is don't suck at things. So we played a school last night. I'm not going to say who. Uh-huh. And we realistically could be in volleyball.
Okay.
25-0 is in play. Like they're that bad. Mm. Which also means because we're 2 months in. And there's some kids on the team that are athletes that play basketball that could dunk and stuff.
Sure.
So I could take 6 nobodies for sure that have never touched a volleyball in their life. But if we had practice every day for 2 months, we'd be better than this team. Mm. So the coach isn't really doing anything.
Sure.
He's taking the paycheck. And so we played them last night. We knew going in they were going to be terrible. So the only thing we could have done different is maybe told the coach before the match what we were going to do. But we didn't. We didn't think about it.
Yeah.
We told the referee. So what we were going to do is starters always start because we want to keep in rhythm. They play game one. Then if the team's really bad, we switch it up game two. And there we have the senior on our team who wants to coach someday. And a good learning experience for kids that play is to coach. And so he's like, can I coach game three? So we went in planning that he's going to coach game three. And after game two, he even changed and put on like a collared shirt and khakis.
Okay.
And had his like notepad, and he made the lineup, and he coached. Like he took it serious, and the kids listened to him. But as soon as he was on the sideline, the other coach starts yelling at us, "Really, really!" And we couldn't tell if he was serious at the beginning, but then, or like maybe he was mad because he thought Zach was matching him, because Zach had on like khaki pants and a collared shirt. And we're like, "Whatever." And then Zach's like, "Should I sit down?" And we're like, "No, we're fine. Like this is on us. We said you could do this. Coach the game." So he coaches the game. We crush them, you know. Afterwards, we all walk down the line and shake hands. And their coach shakes every kid's hand. And I'm the first coach in line. And as soon as he gets to me, he turns around and walks away.
Oh, wow.
He wouldn't shake any of our hands.
That's crazy.
And our head coach, like, ran after him to say sorry. Like, I wasn't trying to be rude. This is the plan. And the coach wouldn't talk to him and just kept yelling, "This is the most disrespected I've ever been."
Oh, my
gosh. It was
so
funny.
And I doubt that's true.
And so my life advice for that is don't be so sensitive and don't suck at your job so much.
Oh, my
goodness. Maybe this doesn't have to happen. Any comments, questions? Any life advice, Jeff, recently?
Life advice. Man, I don't know that I have a ton. I was in Utah recently, for a work trip. So we had an insurance carrier that flew us out to Utah to like a jazz game.
Can I ask you an awkward question about Utah?
Yeah.
So one of Lincoln's favorite basketball coaches ever, his name's CJ.
Okay.
He's a black guy. We're friends on Instagram. And he was in Utah like not that long ago. And he posted a story. He's like, I've been here all week, man. I ain't seen one other brother.
Okay. So that was going to be one of the things I was going to talk about. So like,
did you see any black people?
No, not like, like not at all on the streets. Like, and we were staying downtown and we actually walked to the jazz game. And that was the joke was like, are we going to see anything but like the whitest Mormonist people like ever like walking around like town? And it's like, yeah. Like, and here we are like, we even went to like a happy hour like beforehand like because it goes like a work trip, right? And so like here we are in like this like sports bar, just completely like all white people, like middle class.
Yeah.
And then we actually go to the jazz game and we're sitting in a suite and we're looking out and I was telling one of the guys who was on the work trip with us, Nick, I go, hey, lean outside the suite with me and look around. Like, can you find anything other than white people? And obviously there were, but
right.
It was the whitest crowd you've
funny.
Ever been to in your entire life. Like, it was noticeably.
I love that. So. Have you been to Utah ever, Ella?
No.
It's gorgeous up there. It's where O'Neill lives, so we've been there.
It actually
times.
Is pretty. Like I wasn't expecting it. Like I'd never been to Salt Lake City before, and so I knew there were mountains, but I didn't realize that the mountains went around the entire city. I thought it was just like on like the Rocky Mountain side kind of deal.
Yeah, that was
so
cool.
But yeah, it was great.
So some feedback recently. We talked about restaurants. We talked about fajitas a little.
Yeah. So my text thread today was I was out in East Mesa. Doing another podcast.
What podcast?
So with an organization, actually the podcast actually for a church is called One Life Church, but they brought in a mutual friend of mine and Dave's, Mark Burmich, who is the president and CEO of Choices Pregnancy Centers.
Yeah.
And so they're raising money for Choices as part of like their Mother's Day like offering. And so like here I am, I'm in this like podcast, it's, you got to be quiet and everything else. And my phone, it's on silent, but like it keeps pinging. And it's like this, it's this back and forth between Dave and Casey Wright. If you remember Casey, he's our buddy. I say was, like he's got fired or he's dead.
Like he passed away.
Yeah. He's our buddy who's a veterinarian. He's just a ton of fun. We love Casey. And in like 2 or 3 weeks ago, Dave was making fun of like the restaurant fajitas.
It was last week's episode.
Was it last week's?
Last week's episode.
And Casey like just like caught up to it. And like he's like, I'm just now listening to this. And he's like, I'm so offended. and like Dave's like not even like giving up. He's like, it's the worst restaurant ever. Like the meat's chewy and it's like dog water or whatever.
So,
like,
so I'm going to go all in here. So, if fajitas was open, I'd go there with you in a heartbeat, Casey, because I want to hang out with you.
And you just want to prove your point. You're like, this is trash.
So, Ella, did you ever go to fajitas?
I think like once or twice.
Do you remember liking it?
I just don't like Mexican food, so.
Ethan, you went there.
Went there. I mean, at that time, I mean, not that it's changed. My palate's pretty basic. I was eating cheese quesadillas, but I don't know. Remember?
So, my palate's pretty impressive, I'd say. It's, if I'm an expert in anything, one of them is going to be food, because it's my job. And so one thing that ruined, I still remember it was a brand called Tender Belly Bacon. And it was when I first started and we had this meeting and the Tender Belly people were there and they were talking to us about the way they treat their pigs. And I'm like, this sounds like hippies, right? I'm like, who cares? Like, I want the bacon, give me the bacon. And they're talking about why it matters how you treat the animal. And they're like, so what we're going to do is we bought the most expensive bacon we could at Fry's and we're going to cook that bacon and we're going to cook our bacon and you're going to try it side to side. Because that's how you can really tell. So this was like my first year, so I didn't have an impressive palate. And trying to side-by-side did change me. I was like, there's no comparison. The bacon where the pigs were treated correctly tasted so much
they
better.
They got petted every day.
So much better. And then it went into everything. It's even like chicken. At the time, it was Redbird chicken, but it was like, you know, humanely raised and slaughtered. And so what they would do is the same thing. They would cook Redbird chicken right next to like basic chicken, and there was no comparison. But the difference is we grew up on basic, so we don't know what good chicken tastes like. You know what I mean? If you buy chicken at chain restaurants and stuff, it's not really real chicken. And so in general, I don't like meat at these cheap restaurants. Like, I love Mexican food. Katie and I go all the time. I never get meat because it sucks. Like, you pay a premium for it, but it's bad meat. I don't like pulled meat in general. So, you know, pulled chicken stink. We always make a joke because every time there's a church party, it's like pulled pork.
Yeah.
Every time. It's like the guaranteed church dinner. And me and my boys really don't like pulled meat. So I never buy meat. And so I went to fajitas twice. I can vouch for four things. I got nachos, which were terrible because the cheese layer was on the bottom. The second time we went with Casey and Mark, the families, and I got the cheese crisp, which was terrible. It wasn't a cheese crisp. It was a tortilla with cheese melted in the microwave. We got queso, which was room temperature. So it's like, I know you're not using the stovetop because you're lazy. You can't even throw it in the microwave, so it's like hot. And we got fajitas, and all the meat was bad. So 0-4. So sorry, Casey. But I understand nostalgia. And I think that's more than anything. He's not going to admit it. But I think, like, they grew up going there. And so they're convinced it was good. And you just get, you just get like, a good feeling when you're there. And for me, that restaurant is McDonald's. Because nobody thinks so McDonald's funny. Is good, really, right? It's okay, yeah, but it's not really good. But my grandpa loved it. And he went there a lot. After Luby's closed, we used to go to Luby's every Sunday. Once Luby's closed, we started going to McDonald's every Sunday. Because he could get, like, a senior discount. And so at least twice a year, I'll still get McDonald's, and because I'll think of my grandpa, and I'll get tarry poops, and it's disgusting. But
what?
Wow.
You've never had tarry poops?
You don't want you don't want a description.
McDonald's.
It's not something on the menu, Ethan. That's something that happens to Dave after.
No, it happens like immediately after.
I just put that together.
When you eat like that.
Okay.
He's like, I've never eaten this on the. Stop.
Yep, I'm following.
But one more rabbit hole, which reminds me of a new kid lingo that I had never heard this before. You ever heard? What of a ghost wipe?
Oh, yeah.
Where's this podcast going?
Everybody poops. That's a kid's book. So we're going to talk about poop for a second.
Oh, my word.
You ever watch Parks and Rec?
I've seen clips, yeah.
So it's a pretty funny show. And there's an outtake that's famous because they couldn't include it because nobody could do it without laughing. And Andy's at the doctor, and he's talking to the doctor, and his wife's next to him, and both of them can't take it. And the doctor's like, is anything else wrong with you? And he's like, sometimes I'll wipe. And I'll wipe, and I'll wipe like 10 times, and every time, poop. It's like I'm wiping a marker. It's such a good line. And so one day recently, Lincoln said something, I had a ghost wipe. And I'm like, what's a ghost wipe? And it's like when you have a poop, but then you wipe once, and it's clean. So it's like you only have to wipe once. So it's called a ghost wipe.
Wow.
So that's our teen lingo for the time.
I'm scared.
I forgot what I was talking about. Oh, fajitas, still bad. But I'd go there in a heartbeat with you if I could hang out with you, Casey.
We're gonna have Casey and Burmich on the podcast
to defend fajitas.
To defend it, and I think Casey needs ammo, so we're gonna let Burmich
so
come.
So his ammo was he tried to make fun of me for liking Stallone, which is fine because I will admit I love Stallone. I love all bad action movies. So just within the last 7 days, I watched Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe Origins, terrible movie, but I watched it start to finish. And just 2 days ago, I watched Expendables 4. Which was real sad because I love the Expendables, and this one was bad. And Stallone was real bad in it. He's too old.
He is too old.
He can't move anymore. No. Spoiler alert, if you want to watch Expendables, don't listen. He's barely in it either way. They fake his death at the beginning, probably because he couldn't be in the whole movie, and then he shows up at the very end again. It's like
he probably just hit the cutting room floor.
It's so
they
bad.
The
CGI was so bad. It was so fake looking. The acting was bad.
The audio engineers at the end during the final cuts, like we can't keep anything of this guy.
It was really bad.
So speaking of bad movies, we were talking about one before we got on the pod was Naked Gun.
Yes.
And
but first, let me stick up for Sloan for two more seconds.
Okay.
This is my retort.
I was trying to transition that one, but I guess we're back.
I just want to stick up for 2 more seconds because he's not a great actor.
No.
But he usually acts and writes and directs, so he makes a ton of money off these little movies.
So he's a triple threat.
But as far as acting is concerned, I will say Copland, if you haven't seen it, great Stallone acting movie.
Okay.
Not your typical one. I'd put First Blood up there with any movie ever made. He's good at that. And the first two Rockies are like real movies. After that, I love Rocky IV, obviously, and Rocky III,
sure.
But they're not like good movies.
Sure.
I understand that. But then Creed won. He got nominated for an Oscar, and he won the Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actor. And I don't think fajitas won any awards for anything. So
it comes back to fajitas.
I'll take Stallone's acting over fajitas food any day.
Casey, I'm so mad at you right now for making fun of Stallone because we had to go down that rabbit hole for so long.
All
right,
no more Stallone.
Okay,
no more fajitas.
But
Naked Gun.
Naked Gun. Because we were talking about Naked Gun because of what...
When's the last time you watched it?
Oh, gosh. 92.
So I watched it pretty recently.
Did you? It's got to be so bad.
It's...
Leslie Nielsen.
It's
like,
so...
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's funny. I mean bad. Like, it's super perverted.
Yeah, it
and
is.
Like, you don't really remember it when you're a kid. And I'm like, I can't believe I was watching this movie the time.
What were our parents doing?
They just didn't care.
Like, I know. I mean, seriously. Like, I think about that all the time. Like, how was I ever
exposed
to so many of these?
So
but, like, But like, I don't think they really had like the true filters back then. It's like, ah, we'll just throw PG-13 on this.
It was, when I watched it, I was like, this is a lot more perverted than I remember.
But OJ was in it.
OJ Simpson was in it.
OJ was in it.
And that's what I remember about OJ was Naked Gun.
Yeah.
I don't really remember him as a football player.
Yeah.
My first experience was Naked Gun.
Okay, I can get that. Did you guys know OJ was in a movie at all?
I had no clue. I knew he was running back for the Bills, and then he did something else, too.
He did something
else. What do you do, Ethan? What do you know about him?
That he did or did not do. Who knows?
He definitely did it. We don't have to pretend that he didn't do it, but he didn't get convicted of it.
Not in the criminal case. I think he was convicted on the civil one, right? And so that's why he had to, like,
I'm
going to
butcher
money.
Some of these details, but the cops that were on the case were bad, and they didn't have to. But they planted evidence, correct, I think, just to make sure he was going to get convicted, even though they didn't have to. So because of that, basically became like a borderline mistrial or something. So he was found not guilty.
If the glove don't fit.
You must have quit.
There you go.
That was a constant joke. But I remember this was a big deal because even like on Jay Leno, they had the dancing Itos or who was the judge?
Yeah, Judge Ito.
They had the dancing Itos. So like this was a huge pop
Marcia
culture.
Clark.
Yeah, phenomenon.
Yeah.
And I remember I was a freshman in high school when they announced the verdict. And they actually, like, announced over the speaker in high school, like, what happened.
I remember
happened.
Being in high really? School, yeah.
The whole country cared what was going to happen.
Ella,
with
did
OJ
you know
Simpson.
That the Kardashians' dad was one of the attorneys defending OJ? Did you ever know that?
Really?
That's where they were
that's
first
like,
famous.
That's,
yeah.
like, how they first got famous, because it was one of OJ's attorneys.
Robert, right? I think is his name.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So he kills his wife and her boyfriend, basically. And then when he's going to get arrested, he drives away in a white Bronco.
Uh-huh.
So that's what's been so famous about him. But
so this week I posted a picture of the Bronco and like,
but it's photoshopped a little, right? Because it's,
yeah, I don't know, maybe
I think it was made to look like,
no, not the one that I posted.
Oh, okay.
So the one I posted was an actual shot of the white Bronco, it like facing the camera, and there was like five cop cars,
right,
like following him, like whatever, on the 101 freeway, wherever he was at in the in LA. And the caption on, and I didn't make this up, I screen grabbed everything that I saw. The caption was like, If this isn't like his trip to
funeral,
like the funeral
procession,
to the funeral procession, it's like missed opportunity. And
I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was so funny. Like I saw it, I'm like, I'm totally grabbing this. And I saw it reposted so many other places.
Yeah, I saw it a bunch of places.
But I had to, I actually had to shut off the comments on it because I had people just like arguing and yelling at each other, like too soon. Like they were like totally coming to OJ's defense. Like he's innocent. I'm like, oh, just calm down.
Let's stop pretending he was innocent. Let's be honest with each other, people. We can be honest.
OJ. Yeah.
All right. Are we ready for some Suns talk? I think that's about it. Ricardo, we talked about Mexico.
Mexico.
Let's talk about the Suns a little.
Suns, yeah.
Okay.
Going on
so
with the Suns.
Preview with the Suns. So season was up and down. Rocky for sure. And we went into the last 10 games for the first time. We had all three for a while. We went 7-3. But with this team, like some of those wins were Denver, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. Some Minnesota to clinch the sixth seed, but there also was a game where we were down 37-4 in the first quarter.
I was at that game.
So I can one up you, Ethan, because we ended up scoring 10 points in the first quarter. So it was the second to worst quarter we ever had.
Everybody around me was following. We're like, this has got to be a record.
Because the worst quarter was I was there, and nobody on the team is still in the NBA, and we were playing the Kings, and we scored 9.
Oh,
the first quarter.
Yeah, I was in Utah and I was watching it while I was at the Jazz game. It was just the most painful thing I've ever seen in my life.
They just weren't ready. And what we've said all year is some of these guys, you can tell they just don't. You can't. It's hard to bring it every day. Not for me and you,
dude, I bring it every day.
I bring it every day. But I can understand being like, do I really have to bring it in game 71 when I know game 83 is the only thing people are going to talk about, basically when the playoffs start. So, but they just weren't ready. I mean, Durant missed 2 free throws, Booker missed 2 layups, and then it just was like the snowball effect, and then it just became pressure and pressure, and every shot you missed got worse, and every shot they took got easier. So that was a brutal loss. We lost to the Thunder in there, and they just played awesome. But basically, we went into the last day of the season. The Timberwolves were trying because they wanted the 1 seed.
Sure.
So we had to beat them, and the Pelicans had to lose, and we played at the same time. So we came out, and we took it to the Timberwolves. We were up the whole game. The first quarter was awesome. Same time, Pelicans lose. So we lock up the 6 seed, and the Timberwolves lock up the 3 seed. So we're playing the Timberwolves first round. Saturday, baby.
And yes, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm very excited. What do you think of our chances?
Man, I mean, we're gonna take it to the Timberwolves.
I'm pretty confident.
I don't have any doubt about that.
It's what I just said.
I just don't know that they can stay hungry through the entire playoffs. Like, that's the thing. Like, I feel like when they get adversity, like, they tend to fold. And it's not every time, because sometimes they will rise, but it's like, can they find enough of an appetite to go after it? And again, I'm just going to go back to Vogel. I just don't think he can get them there. Like, that's the job of the coach, to like emotionally prepare them for like these games. And I just don't see him being that guy. He just stands there like with this goofy look on his face, like, what's going on? And I'm just so tired of like, he just doesn't seem to have an answer. Like, how many times can we see a game where it's like he clearly made an adjustment and it's because of that adjustment they won? And I can't think of one.
Right. In-game adjustments are tough. We'll see what the playoffs bring, because it's adjustments game to game.
Sure.
My hope is since it's because the playoffs, they will really bring it every game. And what we've always said is, if they really do bring it, we're as good as anybody.
I agree. The talent's there. And
what we've been doing differently, which I can tell, is we have struggled with turnovers all year because they overpass. You could tell there's like, I don't want to be a ball hog. There's three superstars on this team. I want to make sure I'm a willing passer. But sometimes they're passing up good shots to, like, I mean, what, and that's kind of what they stopped doing this last week. Like, you can tell.
But it's like, how are we at this point in the season? And again, I know you look at me like, stop bringing up Vogel. But it's like, how can you be at this point in the season and still making those same mistakes?
It's continuity, like, because
that's a coaching issue.
Because Beal was hurt so often. Like, and he really only played, like, what, 30 games this year? He didn't play that many.
Yeah, but he's been pretty healthy for the last
month or so.
Yeah.
But then some of the time he was back, Booker was out or Durant was out. So that's the excuse. Is it an excuse?
It is
no.
The excuse, yeah.
But what I will say is the last 10 games where we went 7-3, that kind of has been stopping. People have just been shooting when they're open. Beal has just been shooting when he's open. That game against the Timberwolves, he was awesome. Even the game we lost Friday, he was awesome. He was 6-for-6 from three. He was taking. We always said he's the one that's going to be open.
Sure.
He's going to be guarded by the other team's third best defender.
Yeah.
And he's going to cook those guys. And he just had it. But it seems like he is now. He's excited. And great players just have, like, a knack for doing great things. In that Kings game Friday, remember, we were down two. He stole the inbounds pass with, like, 30 seconds left.
No,
and
it was
the layup.
It was pretty special.
Mm-hmm. Special players just do special things. Mm-hmm. And so having three of them is going to be exciting. I'm not afraid of the Timberwolves.
No.
I listened to the Locked On Timberwolves pod, which was fun, after that game, because they were talking about our flopping. And I'm like, do you remember a lot of flopping?
No.
And they were talking about Towns' offensive fouls, and it's like, they were clear as day. He ran into Durant, like, lifted his arms straight
out. I actually like the way that the NBA is reffing these games lately.
They've gotten better.
Like, they're letting a lot of contact.
That last night's game, Warriors Kings, was physical.
Yeah, I feel like the last, like, 6 weeks, like, there's been
a lot of
no calls.
They went back a little to make sure the Lakers made it, but
of course.
But other than that, it's been good. So, no, I'm not afraid of the Wolves. I think we could beat them. They don't have enough offensively. Karl Towns is barely back, and he's stupid. So he's just stupid. Me and my boys always love making fun of him, because every game almost something happens where you're like, watch this. Like, Towns is getting too excited. He's going to throw a pass behind his back out of bounds, or he's going to get a technical because he can't control himself. At the same time, he's a great player.
Sure.
He's going to do good things, but he always ends up doing dumb things. So I'm excited to play Towns. Edwards is the guy that's going to win a game or two by himself. He's got two in-game dunks that are two of the best dunks you've ever seen in your life.
Sure.
He's just like a monster athlete.
Yeah.
So they're the number one defense in the league, and that's great for the regular season. It's great for all times. But in the playoffs, like, how are they going to score in the half court, you know, if Towns is in foul trouble, which he's going to be, and it's just Anthony Edwards. And also Gobert is kind of a nice matchup for Nurkic, because he's not an offensive guy.
I'm a big fan of Nurkic. Like,
yeah.
We're a different team with
Nurkic.
I wish
he could score better, but he seems like he misses almost every shot he takes within 2 feet of the
that's
hoop.
That's true.
But
defensively,
he's been better.
He's been great.
He's been moving good. He's been blocking shots. He's been rebounding like a machine all season.
Yeah.
So I'm okay giving him his couple empty possessions every now and then for him to try to post up.
I agree. It's always better than Eubanks.
Did you see what he tweeted last night after the Warriors got eliminated? He tweeted that Looney Tunes thing, that's all, folks. A little party shot at Draymond.
Which some of me
is hilarious, because Draymond's annoying. But I also, I'm like, I wish he wouldn't, like, put stuff out there until we've won. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't want to put that on you.
Right. So how the playoffs are looking. The only four teams that can win the West, in my opinion, Clippers, Mavericks, who play each other, which is nice.
That is nice.
Nuggets, Suns. No other team is going to do anything.
Sure.
The Lakers aren't going to do anything. The Warriors are already eliminated. Pelicans and Kings aren't going to do anything. I think it's these four teams, and the Clippers and Mavs are playing first round.
Yeah, and then it's Boston.
East is pretty much Boston or bust. And the only thing that makes me curious is the Heat, because they're always weird. Last year they were in the play-in also and made the finals.
Sure.
And if Embiid's healthy. If Embiid's healthy, he could be a problem for Boston. But he just came back like a week ago also. So who knows what's going to happen over there. So I'm overconfident, which might get thrown in my face, but I think we beat the Wolves in five games.
You don't think the Thunder have a chance at all?
No. They're too young and there's no size.
That's fair.
And that here's what I – so as a tortured Suns fan, here's what I could tell you because I've seen it nonstop. And we saw it 3 years ago when we made the finals. Guys that hit shots during the regular season, it's different in the playoffs. And I watched so many Suns teams with Leandro Barbosa and Rajah Bell, sure, Quentin Richardson, guys that made shots all year. And then in the playoffs, they just can't. And it comes down to who's your superstar and is he going to make shots? That's what's exciting about us having three. Even the year we made the finals, Chris Paul gets hurt. They start double-teaming Booker. Nobody else can make a shot.
Sure.
And that's just the way it goes. So that's why I don't think the Thunder can do it. Shea's the only guy who's going to get buckets. The other guys are going to feel it. Like when the Thunder beat us, Isaiah Joe came in and went 4-for-4 from three. And that's not happening in the playoffs. It's just not. Lou Dort was making shots. Josh Giddey was making shots. Like, that's not going to happen in the playoffs. And they have no size. So I honestly think they might be one of the one seeds that loses to the eight seed. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if the Kings are the eight seed and they beat them. Maybe. I wouldn't be shocked. Zion got hurt, so the Pelicans aren't doing anything.
Zion.
He's something.
50-pound overweight Zion.
I saw it was like he went out with like a sore leg, and Charles Barkley's like, what? He was just like so bothered by the fact that he had a sore leg and had to go to the locker room.
At first, but they did say he had a hamstring strain, so he's out for 2 weeks, so their season's cooked. And I actually, some guy was arguing with me on Twitter, it was funny, because I was like, it sucks when people get hurt. I don't want him to get hurt, but Zion's 50 pounds overweight,
dude.
Like, he is. And then this guy's like, he just lost 25 pounds. I'm like, great. He needs to lose 50
more.
He's
got 20 to go.
He's too big. Yeah. Like, the human body can't take that much weight jumping that
and
high.
And just pounding that hard.
He puts so much torque on his body because he is so athletic. But the Pelicans aren't a serious team. We've known that for years. I'm not worried. Nobody's worried about the Pelicans ever.
And then Grayson just got signed to an extension.
He got signed?
Yeah, he did.
Do your work on your craft, and you get paid. Same thing. He didn't hit a lot of shots for the Bucks last year in the playoffs.
No.
So he's the kind of guy. Eric Gordon has hit shots before. Royce O'Neal, So it's going to come down Booker, Durant, Beal. Yeah. You know, they're all going to need 25.
I'm hopeful. I want to be.
Round one, I'm pretty confident. After that, it's anyone's guess.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but even round one, like we said, we just lost 37-4 in the first quarter. So nothing's going to surprise me.
Sure.
But I'd be shocked if the Timberwolves beat us and we remain healthy.
Yeah.
Have you seen this Olympic roster yet? How stacked this team is?
I love the Olympics. I love USA basketball.
I don't know anything about it, actually.
So this is like the first time like we've like every like NBA All-Star has like been playing since like 2008. Like, this is a legit team. Like, last year
Is Colangelo still involved in this or no?
This is his first year. I think he's not doing it. He did the last Olympics and he retired after
that. So he was in charge of the Redeem Team.
Correct.
Which is
a
good documentary on Netflix.
I saw it. It's fantastic.
Good. It's good. And what I remember about that live is being like, you know what, this is going to be cool to root for all these guys I normally hate. And I remember watching the championship game and Kobe like hitting the and one from three, dude, and shushing the crowd, and I was like so happy for it. And I'd be like, this is weird, like, I hate Kobe.
I know, but he ran right through
Powell, the first play of the game.
And he calls it, like, to watch those guys talk about that, is
they
like,
all like respect
he's like
him
he's
so
like
much.
Here's what's gonna happen, I'm gonna run right through, I'm gonna put him on the ground, like, no he's not.
and he
does.
They're best friends, and that's awesome,
dude. That's great.
So that was cool. So yeah, this roster is basically all the best players. Booker's on it, and Durant. You got the roster in front of you, Ethan?
Yeah, it's Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Halliburton, Drew Holiday, Kawhi Leonard, Jason Tatum. Like, these are legit dudes.
This could be more special than the original Dream Team.
Yeah.
No, because the rest of the world is better, but we're going to roll through it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we're pressured once, basically. You know, we've won the last couple gold medals, but it's been tough. And that one we were talking about, Redeem Team, like, that was a close game. And what's funny about the one before that, we didn't win the gold in 2004. And I love making that joke, and it's because the Spurs players were on that. That was the year Tim Duncan was on the team. Way to blow it, Tim.
Oh, my gosh.
And so we had to bring Colangelo in, and they started taking it serious instead of just getting – it's kind of like the miracle thing.
Yeah.
We're like, we're not just going to get the biggest stars. We're going to try to build the best team.
The best team, yeah. I love it.
So I love international basketball more because the refs don't favor people.
Sure.
So there's no star treatment. and the rules are a little different, and it's better. You can't call live ball timeouts. You can't sub people in unless there's like a stop and play.
Sure.
You could take the ball off the rim. As soon as it hits the rim, it's live.
It's live, yep.
So it's just a better game. It's more fun, but I wish the NBA would adopt some of those rules. So big game Saturday.
Big.
That's it.
That's it.
Guys, thanks for listening. Sorry we were a couple of days late. Me and Jeff have jobs and families, and sometimes there's just no time.
Traveling for volleyball and baseball and all the things, so there you go.
Yeah.
We love you guys.
Cheese, burgers, church, fans, random thoughts, two best friends. Every Monday, tune on in, because Jeff and Dave, we've just began. Dishing stories, serving laughs. Don't panic, now just relax. American cheese is where it's at. Oh yeah, we've got your back.
American Cheese Podcast.